Good morning, good morning, good morning.
It's the God hour, the morning I wake up.
Waking up this morning to some dramatic events around the world.
Building on skyscrapers and acres. He said, take us back to where we belong. I try to write a song as sweet as the Psalms. Though I'm the type to bear arms.
The UK moves away from
when I fell in God, I
EU.
Weave through the mazes.
David Cameron resigns.
Them and raise them. Seasons are aging. Earthquakes, wars, and rumors. I want us to get black.
I learned this morning that Mr. Ash may have died from a freak accident.
Race of living through computers only live, live.
Very, very interesting. Good morning, do something for the world. This is Q95.
Wake up, everybody.
Some hate to love me, others love to hate me. You just love to love me.
Change again, just you and me.
The eyes and the ears of the world focused on the United Kingdom this morning. Big news. Prime Minister David Cameron is to step down by October after the United Kingdom voted to leave the European Union, the BBC has reported. And of course, news agencies from around the world speaking outside 10 Downing Street, he said fresh leadership was needed. According to the BBC, the Prime Minister had urged the country to vote to remain in the EU, but was defeated by 52% to 48%, despite London, Scotland, and Northern Ireland backing staying in. Leader of the United of the UK Independence Party, UKIP, a Eurosceptic and right-wing popular political party in the United Kingdom, Nigel Farage, hailed it as the UK's Independence Day. However, the majority of Scots have voted for Scotland to remain in the EU. The country's First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, has said she was determined to keep Scotland in the European Union, grouping so as a second Scottish independent referendum, now highly likely. Of the four countries making up the United Kingdom, England, Wales voted to leave, while Scotland and Northern Ireland voted to remain. The story is big all over the world. On the line to give us a perspective, I'm hearing that the British pound is falling tremendously there. And countries like Dominica, I heard the Prime Minister on Kyrie FM this morning speaking of the economic repercussions. Economist Thompson Fountain is joining me on the line for a few minutes. Thompson Fountain, what do you make of what you're hearing? Shocking news?
Matt, a very good morning to you and to your listeners. Indeed, Matt, this has to be the biggest event since the 9-1-1 occurrence in the United States in terms of its impact on the world. This is, as people have been saying, it's a momentous occasion. And it reminds me of 2001, when we watched the World Trade Towers fall. All of us looking at that event realized that there was something going to happen, that the world would never be the same again. This is the same way. This is the same way people are feeling. People who followed the news last night, who followed the exit of the U.S. from the EU, are feeling the same way. They know that this is going to be a game changer, but people are not quite sure exactly how. But what we do know, Matt, in the short term, it is going to have a tremendous impact on the financial markets. That is already happening. In fact, every single index, stock market index you can think of, is under attack. They're all falling rapidly. In fact, some of the countries have to put in what they call breakers. You know, for example, the Nikkei in Japan, that they had to put in breakers to prevent it from falling below a certain level. We expect that when Wall Street opens, that the same thing will happen. Also, there is the impact on the pound. The pound sterling is being weakened. It has fallen already by some 15%, and it's expected to fall even further. But not only the British pound is being adversely impacted, the euro is also falling as well. The euro is also falling against the U.S. dollar. So we would expect all of those things to happen, Matt, in terms of the repercussions, financial repercussions. And bear in mind what the stock market is, or the stock markets of the world is. The stock markets, they kind of foreshadow future events. In other words, the stock market is the immediate impact you see for what people expect, because a lot of the expectations are built into the way those markets operate. And when you see that kind of upheaval, it is signaling that down the road, things are going to be different.
Thompson, where are we now in terms of the British pound? Do you have the exact currency, the exchange now?
Yes, when I checked this morning, it was roughly, it was about 15%. It was about $1.33 to the US dollar, or £1 was equivalent to $1.33. Number 15%, that would mean for us, in Dominica, would have probably fallen by about a dollar something of whatever it is now. Because 15%, I think it is roughly around 350 or so to the EC dollar. It would probably have gone down, if it's 15%, it would probably have gone down to about $3.10 in that region now, to the EC dollar. So it is trending down. But Matt, there is something I need to stress, though. There is an expectation that the UK authorities will intervene, because there is a lot of economics behind the reason for a strong pound, which I cannot go into now. But we would expect that the levels might not go down too far, because there is an expectation that if there's a lot of pressure on the British pound, the central bank authorities in the US, the Exchequer, they will in fact move to stabilize the pound. So I don't expect it to go far beyond where it is today. It will probably hover in that region, probably ultimately staying at about 15 to 20% below what it was before the vote was taken. Now, the obvious question that people are asking, well, what is that? What does that mean for countries like Dominica? What does that mean?
I'll tell you, Thompson, before you continue, that I heard the Prime Minister on Cairo FM this morning doing a live interview. He seemed very worried going forward. According to him, you know, they had already signed contracts with the EU, and even, you know, with a new contract just signed for some 8-point-something million euro, especially for the farmers, you know, that's might be affected seriously in a contract signed with the European Union.
Matt, absolutely. The Prime Minister is bang on this. He's correct. Because what happens is, as I indicated earlier, the fact that the euro is also coming under pressure, because the fact that Britain exited has impacted not only Britain and all the United Kingdom, it has impacted the European Union as well. There are concerns now about whether the European Union itself can survive this. And as such, the euro is weakened. Now, a weaker euro means if, for example, you were to receive, let's just take a rough estimate, let's say you were to receive 10 million euros. 10 million euros was equivalent yesterday. Those 10 million euros would have been equivalent to 30 million US dollars, so that's 100 million EC dollars. Okay, or sorry, I mean 30 million EC dollars was roughly 3-1 to the euro. So Dominic would be expecting to receive 30 million US dollars. That was yesterday. But today, they will still get the same 10 million euros. But now, it is no longer 30 million dollars. It is now probably 25 or 24 million dollars today. So that is the concern that the Prime Minister is echoing, that when they receive those monies in euro, when it is converted, it now converts to less because it has been weakened so much. So if you were depending upon receiving $30 million to do your project, now you're shot by $6 million. And that is an issue. And that is why there is so much concern across the globe, because the euro being strong against the U.S. was a good. It was good in terms of a counterweight to the U.S. dollar. It was also good for business. But we have a problem for us. So in terms of the impact, it will negatively impact countries that are receiving aid. It will negatively impact countries that are actually exporting to the UK. But for countries importing from the UK, so for example, if Dominicans are used to buy machinery and other goods from the United Kingdom, it will be better to benefit us because our EC dollar is now stronger against the UK dollar. So we would expect to buy our goods and services from the UK at a lower price, a lower rate. But in terms of aid receiving or receiving aid, then you have a serious issue there.
But tell me, are you surprised that Cameron resigned?
Matt, not at all. In fact, when I heard the news last night, I was convinced that he would resign. The question was whether he would resign right away or whether he would take a little while before he resigned. Now, bear in mind, when Scotland voted about a few months ago, when there was that vote in Scotland to break away from Great Britain, Cameron said that if the vote carried, he would resign on that. Now, this is worse. This is 100 times more impactful, where you have the UK leaving the European Union, an institution in which they've been for the past 41 years. They became formally inducted in 1975. One of the strongest blocs in the world. The fact that, you know, he was supporting the move to stay, and the people of England, the turnout, they said, was 72% of the electorate turned out to vote, and they lost by over a million votes. He had no choice, really. He had no choice. He had to leave. And that is just the way it is. He has to take responsibility as the leader. People did not support him in staying, and he really, his leadership became tenured. He really could not continue.
I'll tell you what, let's shift gears there a bit and talk about our former ambassador, Mr. John Ash, who died, from what I'm picking up this morning, from a freak accident. I have my suspicions, but I'll leave it that way for now. What do you make of that?
Matt, surprise, surprise, we woke up to the news this morning that an autopsy conducted by the authorities in upstate New York revealed that John Ash died from an accident. A barbell that he was using to lift weights fell on his neck. Okay, and that is the official autopsy result. They are saying that he died through anesthesia when something, a weight on your throat, it was caused by a barbell. Now, the police who investigated the incident, they're claiming that it was accidental based on interviews that the company obviously found out from the wife who was in the house and so on. It was an accident. But I have my own suspicions. I would not rule that so quickly. I think they need to conduct a thorough investigation of this. It is just very, very strange that right on the eve of the trial that was to start on Monday, that he suddenly dies from his accident. Obviously, a seasoned weightlifter, a man who had been lifting weights for his life, suddenly he had this accident. That happens, yes, but I find the circumstances are just really, really strange. And I would assume that the authorities would most likely conduct further investigations.
Because first, it was reported that he died from a massive heart attack.
Yes, that was what happened. In fact, when the news first came out, his lawyer was the one who indicated that he had died from a heart attack. not realize at the time what had happened. It felt that that was what it was. But the autopsy is now saying that he really died through, you know, his windpipe was squeezed. So that's what it is, basically. His windpipe was squeezed. The life was squeezed out of him. They're saying that it was caused by a barbell, you know, those weightlifting things that you have, and you lie in the back and you push those weights that fell on his neck. The question is, how did it happen? They're saying it's an accident, but there are people who are saying that this looks suspicious, given the fact that he was about to testify. We know that this is a very big case involving, you know, the friend of Prime Minister Roosevelt, Skerrit, Andrew Lapsang. We recall that, you know, a few days before the arrest of Andrew Lapsang and Lorenzo, the former ambassador for the Dominican Republic, and John Ash, along with some assistants of Andrew Lapsang, that Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit was meeting with them in Macau, discussing the whole the center of excellence for Dominica, along with the convention center that they were trying to build in Macau. And then this gentleman gets arrested. The case is going forward. He is to testify in his own defense, but also he was to be used against Andrew Lapsang, because a critical part of the case is that Andrew Lapsang gave him bribes in exchange for agreeing to write a letter to the United Nations in support of what he was trying to do in Macau. And for that, he received Rolexes, he received payments for his BMW. He had a brand new basketball court that was built for $30,000, built in his backyard and so on. And he was given trips and all the rest of it. And that is what he was being brought up for. So you'd have been a key person or you call it a key witness against Andrew Lapsang and his own bribery trial. And then he suddenly dies on the eve of that. So obviously there are a lot of raised eyebrows there about this particular incident.
But some are worried about, you know, his death, you know, and the repercussions for the big case against Andrew Lapsang.
Well, man, I have the sense that it may not impact the case so much for the very simple reason that he would already have had what they call a deposition. He would already have given evidence in writing, either or both in audio and video tape. He would have given that evidence already to the authorities in terms of what he knew and so on. So that can be used going forward. Obviously, they would have liked, the lawyers would have liked to have had him on the bench to cross-examine him, because after a lot of information can be clarified and so on, more information can be done. But they would just have to make do with whatever information he was able to give them before his untimely passing. You know, but that adds a bit of intrigue to the whole situation. And it's something that we have to look at very, very, very closely, because it has implications, obviously, for us. I've always said that the case, that this Andrew Lapsang case, has huge implications for us, because, as we indicated, you know, it was a pattern that Andrew Lapsang was involved in. I mean, he was prepared to bribe UN officials to get his way in the UN. The question is whether or not he bribed our own prime minister to have the center that was going to be built in Dominica. And I think that's a legitimate question that the people of Dominica need to keep asking. And we are hoping that when the case of Andrew Lapsang comes out, that those questions will be answered, that Andrew Lapsang will tell us about what he had to do to get this particular center in Dominica. So these are very, very, very interesting times, Matt, and it's something that the Dominican public, that is of great interest, I believe, to the Dominican public, and something that we have to keep looking at.
But quite aside again, we haven't heard much in recent times, Thompson. Maybe you can tell us what's going on with the Panama Papers.
Matt, there is in a way there are lots of investigations taking place. Obviously, there was a tremendous amount of information that was collected from the Panama Papers. The investigators are continuing to dig into those issues. I can tell you that from our own end, Matt, we know that the documents that were used for at least one of the individuals that was used by Stephen Isidore to secure Mr. Leon Royer as the sole beneficiary of this company, that the documents that were used to secure this individual, namely his passport, expired in March. and they would expect that new documents would have to be offered up, if you like, on his behalf. So there's an interesting situation developing, Matt, and I think you need to talk to Mr. Leon Royer, because he indicated to me that he was suddenly rehired by Mr. Stephen Isidore in January of this year. Remember, he was fired about 2 years ago. Suddenly, Mr. Isidore rehired him earlier this year, and after a couple of months, he fired him. But when he rehired Mr. Royer, he rehired him on the notion that he would help him acquire a new passport. Mr. Royer tells me that that this did not happen, that he gave the information to Mr. Isidore, but in the end, he did not get his new passport. And I subsequently found out that you need new documents to renew that relationship with the lawyers there. So the question then becomes exactly what happened. So I think, you know, we need to investigate that a bit more in terms of what is going on with this relationship where Mr. Stephen Isidore actually used these unsuspecting individuals as beneficiaries to possibly millions and millions of dollars stacked away in offshore bank accounts.
I'm also hearing a story that kind of surfaced yesterday. Somebody told me, you know, somebody close to that source, that the Mr. Prime Minister's first child's mother is not doing too well since this Panama scandal broke out, meaning that, you know, something is not right. I don't know if you've heard that story.
Yes, Matt, I have heard persistent rumors of that, obviously.
That might just be an allegation, but I'm hearing a lot of talk until yesterday.
Yes, Matt, that is correct. That has been, she has not been seen in Dominica for several weeks now. And there is a rumor that she's overseas receiving attention of medical treatment. It would be good if she would come out and clear the air, because that has been circulating for quite a few weeks now.
But there's a little worrying going on there. You know, a lot of people seem worried. Close friends of hers.
There is concern about her own health in that whole situation. So it would be good if she would at least let people know what is going on, because obviously people are concerned about her. People are worried about her own health, and there are persistent rumors. And the fact of the matter is, we simply do not know, because we've not seen her in public, we've not heard from her, but there is that concern, obviously, about her health.
Well, I guess I just wish her the best as it relates to, you know, her health, if in fact this is correct. But family members and friends are a bit worried about what's going on.
Yes, Matt, and then there is the Venezuela issue. I know it's a lot. This is just one of those days where you have so, I mean, any one of those issues would have been a big, massive issue on its own. Now we have all of these major, major issues. The Venezuela issue, I wanted to talk to you.
Yes, go ahead.
Briefly, you know, Dominica is coming under severe pressure, because Dominica, the Dominican public should know that yesterday at the United Nations, at the Organization of American States in Washington, D.C., the OAS, Dominica's ambassador, Mr. Hubert Child, based in Washington, D.C., voted against most of the members of the OAS and in support of Venezuela. The vote was to basically blame, what the vote was, to put the blame for the plight of the suffering Venezuelans squarely at the doorsteps of Maduro. In other words, Maduro was being held personally responsible for the corruption, for the violence, and for the state of poverty that now exists in Venezuela. The majority of the countries voted in support of that resolution, which is the first step in expelling Venezuela from the Organization of American States. Dominica was one of 11 countries that supported Venezuela against the Organization of American States. And all the other persons, the other countries, obviously, most of the Latin American countries, Ecuador, Bolivia, these types of countries that supported Nicaragua, that supported, along with Dominica, supported Venezuela. But it was a big day in terms of what could happen. What the OAS is saying is that a lot of the suffering and the pain that is now being seen is because of the failed policies of the of Maduro, where the money that already should be going to helping the people of Venezuela. In fact, the OAS General Secretary made the statement that Venezuela should be one of the most prosperous nations in the world because of the amount of money that they have made through the sale of oil. Yet, they are one of the most impoverished. And he made the statement that it's because of the level of corruption, that the level of nepotism that is taking place in Venezuela. Tendencies that we have seen in Dominica. And I believe that we should be very much concerned, given where Venezuela is, and now it is leading to violence, because people who want to shout in the praises of Maduro and Chavez, individuals who want to, you don't have to work, we'll give you a house, we will give you a handout. Those individuals, the same policy has been done in Dominica, where individuals who said, just go red, just support us blindly. You don't have to work, we don't have to generate economic activity, we don't have to create new jobs. We will give you handouts. That's what happened in Venezuela. They were given handouts. Sadly for them, this time is over. They now have castle homes that they cannot stay because they cannot pay the bill. They have no food. There is one survey that said 80% of Venezuelans say they don't get enough to eat on a daily basis. And so you had this vote yesterday in Washington that was meant to pressure Maduro. And the OAS also said a very interesting thing. They said that they support the move by Venezuelans to recall Maduro. They're hoping that Maduro will allow that referendum to go forward, where the people of Venezuela will vote whether or not to recall him as president. And so a lot of pressure has been built up on Venezuela. But obviously, Dominica has chosen to side with Maduro against the Venezuelan people. Something that the Venezuelan people have not taken lightly. Because, Matt, if you look on social media, and I hope you get another chance to discuss this on your program, if you go through social media, you will see that the Venezuelans are irate, they are angry, they are blasting Dominica, because Dominica is one of the few English-speaking islands, but if none of the other islands have supported Maduro. And social media, they're having a field day, they're hitting Dominica. They're hitting Dominicans. They feel that Dominican has no morals, that Dominican has values, because they're asking the question, why would Dominican vote against the people of Venezuela? You know, that it makes sense that Venezuela was once a very rich country. They had the resources, this money's gone, the money's a lot. And bear in mind, Dominica has some culpability, but there's a lot of the money for Venezuela went for the Petrocarib arrangement. This Petrocarib arrangement is a major tool for laundering, for taking away the money of Venezuela. We have a culpability in that. In Dominica, we have this Petrocarib arrangement where we are told that the $250 million that were owed to Venezuela is no longer a debt. This debt has disappeared, just went into thin air. So we have money in Dominica that belongs to the Venezuelan people. We are now told we don't have to pay it back. Dominica is complicit. Regional Austria is complicit in this, and the Prime Minister of Dominica. They're complicit in the destruction of the Venezuelan people. And the Venezuelan people are not taking this lightly. And I think it's time that Dominicans own up to this, that the monies that are owed to Venezuela, the hundreds of millions of dollars that are owed to Venezuela, that was received, because bear in mind, when we got the oil from Venezuela under the Petrocarib arrangement, the oil was sold, the diesel was sold to Dominica, the diesel was sold to National Petroleum. The monies were collected by Regional Austria and its Petrocarib people.
So there's a lot of accountability issues, you're saying?
A lot of accountability issues, Matt. And I'm saying that the monies that were collected from the Petrocarib, the hundreds of millions of dollars that were collected by Regional Austria and the government of Dominica from the sale of Venezuelan diesel should be paid back to them. These monies need to go back to Venezuela. They need the money, you know. But now we see that they're closing ranks around Maduro because, as I indicated to you, this Petrocarib arrangement was a major way in which the monies were channeled out. The other way where Dominica is complicit, the Brillo Bank opened in Dominica, this offshore bank opened by Lennox Lawrence and potentially the vice president of Venezuela, this offshore bank in Dominica there, millions of dollars siphoned out this way as well. So, you know, Dominica is complicit in the suffering of the Venezuelan people. in the sense that they've taken the people's money and kept it for their own, done all sorts of things with it. And we have a serious situation in Venezuela where the people are on the verge of revolting. The individuals who shouted the praises of Chavez, the same way as the Dominican, blindly shouting the praises of Rosas Kelly. We are heading down the same road. Ultimately, it's going to happen to Dominica. We are going to get to the point where the liquor passport monies we have now in Dominica is going to dry up. And the same people who are shouting the praise of Kerry, who don't believe that Kerry needs to create jobs for them, who are shouting the praise of Kerry because he creates jobs on the energy program, so-called jobs. These very same people are the same people I saw in Venezuela shouting the praises of Chavez because he had built a few homes for them. He had given them homes where they never had homes before. Now they're looking at the homes. They have nothing to eat. They're looking at those homes, and they're suffering in a way that's unbelievable. Now the police are beating them up. People are they're throwing the opposition members have been thrown in jail. It's a mess in Dominica, and the Dominican prime minister, through his ambassador in Venezuela, they are supporting a repressive regime in Venezuela, a regime that is now jailing the opposition members. They are saying, yes, we support you, Maduro. We support what you're doing. And I think the Dominican public needs to condemn that behavior by the Prime Minister of Dominica. They need to condemn that behavior by our government. We should not be supporting this repression of the Venezuelan people. Dominica should be standing with the people of Venezuela. Almost 90% of the people of Venezuela now say they don't want Maduro. They now say that they've had enough, that this guy is a despot, that this guy is doing them wrong, and they want a break from Maduro. But we see Dominica joining ranks with Maduro, and it's wrong. And the people of Dominica need to demand answers of the government and demand that we take a different tack, that we go to the rest of the hemisphere in support of the Venezuelan people against this murderous regime of Maduro.
Thompson Fontaine, on the line there, thank you very much. Hope we see you back soon.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you very much for coming back after this.
In your tea, Madam Razad, still taste, you know, yali oti doctor, they take 2 tablets every 6 hours. Yali po 6 tablets every 2 hours. Ambulance ki womasi, it got chime. When she recovered your day from no one, you go to quick care pharmacy, kote health, bro. Layo ke SPC, tut bite bow. Lay wevela, idio, you that is quick care. Yo, di yes, ma'am, quick care. Every type of personalized service, it tell me satisfied. Like, if you work here, di mawi, I get dependable, knowledgeable, trustable, and supportable service. Mawi, di yes, that is a big table. I got here, ki di Howard Juju Cafe, vemwe. I weapon, no, honey, go and take your medicine. Yes, quick care pharmacy, Cote Health, bro. Service you can trust for all your prescription and over the counter drugs. He can, she can, they all can testify about the professionalism and benefits, Cote Quick Care Pharmacy. Pumye for an in taxi, taxi, say, St. Thomas. The medicine by Quick Care delight all my sickness. It have lady delete. Quick Care Pharmacy, Cote Health, bro. Telephony 440-8600.
You just got into a car accident. Now you have to fix it and you don't have a cent. Don't worry. Don't worry. Be happy. Your home got flooded out and you've lost it all. And chances to recover start to look very small. Don't worry, don't worry, be happy.
Want to live the worry-free life today? Call us at Beacon or log on to beacon.co.tt. Beacon Insurance. Switch.
Listen to Q95 everywhere in Dominica on these frequencies. 95.1 FM, Roseau and Southwest. 95.7 FM Casabroost and the East, 95.7 FM Grand Bay and the South, 97.5 FM Marigot and the Northeast, 105.7 FM Portsmouth and the North, 105.7 FM Laplane and the East. We are also on Digicel Play Channel 100 and Channel 904. And Marpin 2K4 Channel 97. Our global website link is www.q95da.com. Link up our Wise QFM live audio stream online via TuneIn Radio. Like our exciting program pages on facebook.com/Q95FM Radio. Follow us on twitter.com/Q95FM Radio. Check Q95 FM Radio videos and photos on Instagram. Listen to our podcasts at Q95FMradio.podbean.com and link us on YouTube at youtube.com/user/Q95FM Radio. Keep it locked to Q95, the big station.
Good morning. Yes?
I say praises, thanks, blessings, and glory to all those with humanity. Mr. Pelty, blessings in your family, sir.
Good morning to you, blessings.
You see, I tell you to get rid of that gym you have under your beast, under the cellar here. Let's get a freak accident there. I hope Scary haven't got a gym. And that partner Thompson just mentioned, I hope he haven't got a gym himself. Matt, I talking about the consistent sequence of events, and the coincidence is not consistent, the laws of coincidence. And to me, you know, it doesn't add up. Well, first we heard about the heart attack, Matt, the massive heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're hearing about it's an accident, a freak accident.
One of these dumbbells fell out, they say, on his neck.
I hope you haven't got no dumbbells back. But it's very interesting, you know. And to me, the laws of coincidence, I've always said that it is not consistent. Just analyzing everything and listening to a lot of things where it seems to be coincidental or accidental. And it is not really. Man in his intelligence is so sophisticated and deceptive. You never take things for what it is on the surface. You really need to dig deeper and pile higher in your investigations of what is really happening in this world of today, because man is diabolic. And I say man, that does not mean the categorization of every man, you know? But what I need to say, Matt, even with the Venezuela thing as well, I hope Scarlett learning his lessons, and I pray that it's not because she's a beautiful woman. To me, every woman has her own beauty, and every man. But I know her, and I pray that she can leave to tell the story. That's the boy, the scary child murder, Matt. I heard she's not doing too well.
Well, that's what I'm hearing. I'm still trying to confirm whether, you know, that's true or not. But since this Panama scandal, you know, around, it's quite coincidental, as you said. You know, she's not been seen too publicly.
I mean, is it a coincidence? Because, you know, maybe some people, I pray that nobody's not trying to shut her up. I pray that she could live to tell the story, Matt. And I'm just saying, with the whole thing, we voting, not Dominicans, but these criminal enterprises voting against the citizens of Venezuela after what they have been through and is going through, from under Chavez to Maduro, the way the finances has been misappropriated or misspent and shared all over the Caribbean to gain support. And look at the people right now on their backs, and the best thing we can do. I listened to him this morning as well on Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
And you listen to when the brother told you, asked him about Cameron resignation. He said, that is a personal thing. He do not want to comment on that. He reserved his comment because he cannot imagine he resigning, Matt. Come on. It's still death do us part. He married to Dominica or to his position. And I am just saying it is sickening. It is sad. And, Matt, I just want to touch on 3 points there quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a blessing in disguise. Because if this guy's with no objection, with no problem at all, have to consolidate these European countries, maybe it will facilitate, Matt, the new world, the imposition of the new world order on the people. So if there can be some fragmentation, some fracas, some confusion, some division among them, let it be, because they say God works in mysterious ways, Matt. So let us watch the whole thing unfold, because Matt, We know not what we're up against, so no wonder we have that little wonder boy there playing us and slapping us in the face. Something is coming on the world which will be so unbearable and diabolic. I say, my brother, it's ignorance alone that can facilitate that level of brutality.
We have gone to bed last night and sort of envisioned Cameron resigning and the UK pulling away from the European Union. This is a strange, strange world.
Very, very strange, Matt. Blessings, bro.
You don't know what you wake up to these days. Hello.
Matt, good morning. How are you doing, my brother?
My brother, how are you?
Fine, thank you, my brother. Matt, let me tell you, I really would like to appeal to all the college students, particularly those doing business and economics, Matt. Listen to what I have to say, Matt. Because, you see, we heard from Dr. Fountain here responding to the response of the Prime Minister to the whole situation. And the Prime Minister is concerned with the value of the aid money that we're going to be receiving from you, from the EU, in light of the devaluation of the EU currency, Matt. Matt, there is a very important lesson there that we must never miss, you know, Matt. Because you also heard from Dr. Fountain that we should be happy to a certain extent, because especially if we are importing, we will be paying less for the goods that we generally import from England or from the EU nations. You hear that? You heard that, Matt? Matt, that's just on the import side. On the export side, Matt, if we are exporting, Matt, we would be getting more for our exports because of the strength, the increased strength of our currency in relation to the euro, Matt.
Yeah.
You understand? So the lesson there for us, Matt, is that if we had been for 16-plus years developing trade relationship with Europe, maintaining the banana market, and even expanding it to include other crops, Matt, because remember, under the United Workers' Party, under the leadership of Edison James, we had got the industry had moved into shipping, Matt, so that we could get more value for the products that we were producing here in Dominica. Matt, if we were developing trade, we would be at a stage right now where the amount of money that we would be getting as a nation from Europe, Matt, because of trading, would be pale, would exceed, rather, in by great amounts, the amount of money that we'll be receiving in aid from them. The aid money would look like chicken feed compared to the trade money revenue that we would be generating, Matt. So you see, Matt, because of this mendicant attitude that we have developed over these years under the Labour Party government, they see this as a disadvantage because of the fact that they will not be getting enough from the money that they receive as aid, rather than looking at it as an opportunity to develop trade to benefit from the devaluation of the currency, Matt. And the young people of Dominica, our future leaders, especially those studying business and economics, Matt, need to pay close attention to the reaction of the Prime Minister to this situation, especially what he is mainly concerned about, Matt. So we thank Thompson Fountain for the education this morning, Matt, but we want to take it further, Matt. We want to observe, Matt, exactly what is driving the leaders of our country. You know, we see that they're interested in begging rather than developing trade, Matt. And so that's why we normally would say, Matt, we prefer trade instead of aid, Matt. We welcome aid, but we would prefer to be trading, Matt, so that we could reduce our trade deficit right now, which is astounding, Matt. We could be exporting more and producing more locally, Matt.
Thank you very much. Nice take on this one. Then we're going to come back.
In your team, Madam Razad, Silte is Kino. Yali Oti Doctor, they take 2 tablets every 6 hours. Yali po 6 tablets every 2 hours. Ambulance Kiwomasi, it got Chime. When she recovered Yodi from no one, you go to Quick Care Pharmacy Kote Health, bro. Layoke SPC Tutbite Bower. Lay Weevela, Idio, you that is Quick Care? Yodi, yes, ma'am, Quick Care. Every type of personalized service, it tell my satisfaction. Lay Viwea Kaili Dimawi, I get dependable, knowledgeable, trustable, and supportable service. Ma we di yes, and that is a big table. I got the ever kid, how a juju cafe, moi. He will put no honey. Go and take your medicine. Yes, Quick Care Pharmacy Kote Hillsboro. Service you can trust for all your prescription and over-the-counter drugs. He can, she can, they all can testify about the professionalism and benefits Kote Quick Care Pharmacy. Pumye Fanen in Texas, Texas, St. Thomas, Evaki, the medicine by Quick Care, delight all my sickness. It have lady delete. Quick Care Pharmacy Kote Hillsboro. Telephony 440-8600.
Shoppers, are you ready to shop smart? Well, Springfield Trading brings you S-Smart, a new shopping facility located in the Springfield Trading Complex on Goodwill Road. The smart way to shop is with S-Smart. Come and enjoy one-stop S-Smart shopping and get a large selection of quality products at competitive prices in a comfortable and convenient shopping center with spacious parking.
Spacious parking.
Friendly employees. Exceptional service.
Exceptional service.
Exceptional service. Flexible shopping hours. 7 days a week with ATM services on site. So be a satisfied smart shopper.
A satisfied customer.
Visit us today on Google Road and shop smart now.
S-Smart.
Some days it's wet, and some days it's just sizzling hot. Summer and hurricane season. So many projects and so little money. Get ready for the biggest free day clearance sale ever on construction and building materials at Max Roy Trading, starting Wednesday, 29th June to Friday, 1st July. Max Roy Trading in Focoli is giving 15 to 50% off on selected items. Take advantage of this free day clearance sale and save some money. Max Roy Trading, your foundation to building success.
If you're the one paying for college, shouldn't you be spending your hard-earned money on an associate degree that is internationally recognized and does not cost you a fortune? That's right. Right now, you can earn a fully accredited and internationally recognized CXC or CAPE associate degree with Lit Institute for much less than what it costs to study abroad or anywhere in Dominica. Degrees available in business, economics, accounting, entrepreneurship, information and communication technology, law, natural sciences, environmental science, and tourism. So do yourself a favor and get the CAPE Advantage. Register anytime before June the 30th and qualify for even lower tuition. So what are you waiting for? Go ahead. Call 276-8548 or 440-3257 or email lidinstitute@hotmail.com or visit www.lidinstitute.dm. The Lid Institute CAPE Advantage. A better degree, a better life.
Have no fear?
Yay! Summer is here!
Let BF Inc. bring fun and cheer.
The youth series, great for you and all the friends of your crew.
There is so much you can do.
Sports and arts, and dance the day long. Public speaking, math, learn to write a song.
So come along and bring a friend.
BF Inc. giving you empowerment and more.
July 25th to 30th, 2016. Convent High School. Registration only $125. Registration only $125.
It's the year that we waited. Oh, yay.
Get ready for another Color Me Fed.
We anticipated.
Color Me Fed Volume 2, July 8th from 7 p.m. till at the Cicero Hotel. It's another huge party with performances by Unstoppable DJs, DJ Slim and DJ Flo, DJ Snow, DJ Stallion and Major Mystic. Live music by Dominica's Best in Puyo Music, Prince of Puyo, Issa Bantan. Issa Bantan. The Daybreak Specialist, Triple K Global.
Log in again.
Triple K Global.
I see we flying.
It all goes down July 8th from 7 p.m. at the Cicero Hotel.
Call Me Fed Volume 2.
This event is sponsored by Carrie FM, Flo, Toujours Art Cotel, 365 MMP, Caribbean, Jazz Garraway and Company Limited, CP Trading. The Call Me Fed Volume 2. See you there. Nayat,
Dr. Island Flex and GX Sound
is preparing the final exam.
Calling all high school, college, and university students for the final exam school zone party. It all goes down on Friday, June 24th
at the Harlem Plaza.
Featuring music juggling by DJ Midian, DJ Shield, and more. Live on stage is Dominica's number one,
the world's baddest Puyo band,
Mr. Benji N2O Tazzy. On front stage with Triple K Global.
Triple K Global.
One, ready, read him. Two, ready, read him. One, two, three, read him on.
Final exam Friday, June 24th at Harlem Plaza. Entrance only $20. Gates open at 8 p.m.
Final exam.
Let me start this summer with a look at Triple K. Final exam is sponsored by D-Pex, Island Flex, Nature Island Adventure Tours, GX Sound, Digicel, Josephine Gabriel and Company, Fine Foods Inc.
Here, shoppers, are you ready to shop smart? Well, Springfield Trading brings you S-Smart. A new shopping facility located in the Springfield Trading Complex on Goodwill Road. The smart way to shop is with S-Smart. Come and enjoy one-stop S-Smart shopping and get a large selection of quality products at competitive prices in a comfortable and convenient shopping center with spacious parking.
Spacious parking.
Friendly employees. Exceptional service.
Exceptional service.
Exceptional service. Flexible shopping hours. 7 days a week with ATM services on site. So be a satisfied smart shopper.
A satisfied customer.
Visit us today on Google Road and shop smart now.
S-Smart.
S-Smart.
Have no fear?
Yay! Summer is here.
Let BF Inc. bring fun and cheer.
The youth series great for you and all the friends of your crew.
There is so much you can do.
Sports and arts and dance the day long. Public speaking, math, learn to write a song.
So come along and bring a friend.
BF Inc. giving you empowerment and more.
July 25th to 30th, 2016. Convent High School. Registration only $125. Registration only $125.
Nayat, Island Flex, and GX Sound
is preparing the final exam.
Calling all high school, college, and university students for the final exam school zone party. It all goes down on Friday, June 24th
at the Harlem Plaza.
Featuring music juggling by DJ Midian, DJ Shield, and more. Live on stage is Dominica's number one,
the world's baddest Puyo band,
Mr. Benji N2O Tazzy. On front stage with Triple K Global.
Triple K Global.
Ready, read him. Two. Ready, read him. One, two, three. Read him up.
Final exam Friday, June 24th at Harlem Plaza. Entrance only $20. Gates open at 8 p.m.
Final exam.
Let me start this summer with a look at Triple K. Final exam is sponsored by D-Pex, Island Flex, Nature Island Adventure Tours, GX Sound, Digicel, Josephine Gabriel and Company, Fine Foods Inc.
Four four nine 3095. We're taking our few final phone calls for, of course, the morning. We'll continue talking at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Talk on the block. Hello, talk to me.
Good morning, Matt.
Yes, man.
Yes, very good. I see you have a lot of commercials. Business is hot, man. Yes, but Matt, let me just tell you that, you know, I don't know if you really live in a real country. And Matt, I've been asking all the time, and I know a lot of persons have concerns with regards to that. Matt, we always hear the director of audit call the radio station, and sometimes he calls and explains everything. But Matt, this is a man I'm understanding who was given a contract, and I think he's now given a sort of consultant. He's been a consultant.
But he has called since and denied it. We are hoping to have a conversation soon on that, Mr. Clarence Christian. He did call me and tell me that was just a rumor.
Okay, a rumor. But what I'm interested in is that, before he gets that, Matt, you know this man who started as director of audit has not submitted a report for 2013, 2014, and 2015. And by virtue of the constitution, Matt, the director of audit at least once a year should report on the public accounts of the government to Commonwealth of Dominica. Matt, this man has not submitted. The last report which was submitted, Matt, was in 2012. And if that is true that he's given or he's anticipating a new contract, That's a failure on his part already. If you have to evaluate that man, he has failed in his responsibilities to submit reports as stated by the Constitution. So again, this is where the law has been broken again. So I don't know. And Matt, since this government has come in here, they are there for 16 years. Matt, you know how many reports have been submitted? Only 6 reports. This government continues to violate the Constitution. And Matt, this is a country we are not living by laws, you know. No wonder people are not investing in this country. Because if you invest in this country, how are you going to get redressed for issues that may arise from operation of your business? This country is not serious yet. And we are letting people run away. Instead, we attract people to our country. How can you not submit a report and we are hearing that you are soon to get a big job? Huh? Well, Matt, if they have not given it to him yet, he does not deserve that job. He does not deserve that job because he has not submitted report, and we need this, and the opposition leader, you know, I'm going to put a little snack on you today. You must bang your hands in the parliament and demand the report because you are the chairman of the Public Accounts Committee. And if you are to report to Dominican what is transpiring with respect to the consolidated fund, which I know is in a negative, then you should ask for that report. It is your constitutional right to ask for that report and tell us of what is happening. Because government spending cannot be reckless, yet we're not getting a report to verify what is happening in the country. So yes, the opposition, get going and ask for the report. Let the speaker submit, because he has to submit that report. And anytime he calls the radio station, engage him and ask him, why is it that he has not submitted a report for 2013, 2014, and 2015?
I'll ask him that question on your behalf here. Thank you very much. Somebody says, Matt, this John Ash saga is playing out like a movie, pure Hollywood style. Now that the main testifying witness is dead, there's no way that the FBI can proceed with a prosecution against Lapsang at this time. Interesting observation. Hello.
Good morning, Matt. How are you?
We have 1 minute.
Yes, Matt. First, let me debunk that last statement the person made there that now that Ash is dead, the FBI cannot proceed. Matt, the FBI is not like the state, Matt. When the FBI indicts you, Matt, they have already done the vast majority of their work. They investigate first, and then that is when they do what they have to do, Matt. So they probably have 99% of the evidence they need, Matt. Having said that, Matt, you know, I have often talked about the public servants, senior ones, facilitating the corruption that goes on in Dominica, and it is evident in the fact that the ambassador to the OAS would support a motion against the sufferings of the Venezuelan people. Now, having said that, let me move on quickly to the European thing, Matt. Matt, there's a blessing in disguise, Matt. Every disappointment, there's a blessing. If I were the government of Dominica right now, Matt, I would have a high-powered mission comprising of the Minister of Agriculture, the Minister of Trade, the Permanent Secretary in Agriculture, the Permanent Secretary in Trade, and the Director of Agriculture flying into London, Matt, to discuss with them the resumption of our banana exports and other root crops into Britain right at this moment, Matt. Because why, Matt? For example, the bananas from Martinique and Guadeloupe that will be going into France and then across to England, as a result of this vote, that has to be reviewed. It is now time, Matt, given our banana production are now back on stream. We hear that the farmers are planning to give away bananas to feed pigs, Matt, because this government failed to find the markets, Matt.
There's something happening in Marigot tomorrow. I'm sure you heard Edison James saying that he wants all farmers in that area to bring the bananas together and decide what they're going to do with this.
That is right, Matt. So I am saying that this government right now, there should be a high power, not the Prime Minister, Matt, the Minister of Trade, the Minister of Agriculture, their relevant permanent secretaries, and of course the Chief Technical Officer in the Ministry of Agriculture with the Director of Agriculture should be on a plane now on their way to Britain to discuss the marketing of bananas into Britain and other root crops that we previously shipped into Britain. Matt, this is what should be done. But of course, Matt, when you stand for nothing, Matt, you fall for anything. Good morning, Matt. Have a good day.